Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Welcome to another episode of the Awakened Soul Podcast. I am the host, CEO Hayes. And for any first-time listeners, make sure you go and follow us at The Awakened Soul Pod, and also follow myself at CEO Hayes. But more importantly than all that, go and check out The Breaks Media Network. That's TheBreaksMediaNetwork.com, where you can check out this podcast as well as all the other lovely podcasts that are on the network, where everything black and beautiful, all wrapped up into just one group of people, a group of creatives that all came together to just make something beautiful. We have the podcast network, we have blogs, we have the YouTube channel. We do a little bit of everything at The Breaks Media, so definitely go and check that out. It is the premier black-owned media company that you will find. That is period, point blank. But nonetheless, to get into this episode, we do have Scoop Grady with the Petty News. In the discussion topic this week, I'm actually going to do something a little bit different. So this is going to be a bit of a shorter episode, but I do get into some motivational stuff in the body in the discussion topic of this. I really look forward to bringing that conversation to you guys and seeing how you react to it. Outside of that, you know, I wonder how was everyone's Easter? I know this episode's late and it is because of that holiday. Honestly, Easter was exhausting for me and the family. And while I still had all intent to bring you guys the episode on time because I'm just that dedicated, you know, I had to take some time for me. That's just be 100% honest. I had to take some time out. I could have probably still got this episode out on time. But my energy wouldn't have been quite there because it was exhausting. It was fun, but it was definitely exhausting. We also celebrated my son Xavier's 13th birthday. He turned 13 on the 17th. So, yeah, it's just a great time for the family in general. But enough of that. Enough prefacing. I'm going to go ahead and let AJ take this one away. We're going to get into the End of Mine of Hayes segment, which is a segment where I get my shit off. So with no further ado, AJ, give it to him.
The following is a Breaks Media podcast.
You are now listening to the best podcast in the world, The Awakened Soul, hosted by my daddy. Best podcast, best podcast in the world. The Awakened Soul, best podcast in the world. The Awakened Soul. Best podcast in the world, The Awakened Soul.
The Awakened Soul. CEO.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the End of Mine of Hayes segment for this week. And so with this one, I battle back and forth on how I wanted to start it off. Do I wanted to start off with the lighter news or the heaviest? And you guys who've been listening to this podcast for a while know exactly where I'm going to start. I'm always going to start with the heavier stuff first. So this one, we're actually going to be talking about the shooting of Danquarius Franklin. And so for anyone who's been following this case, Danquarius Franklin was shot in a Burger King parking lot after the police had asked him to put down the weapon. And the video was released from this. But in this case, it was only a 2 minute, right around two minute portion of the video, which was actually an 11 minute video. And so the judge in this case has ordered the police department to release the full 11 minute video and has actually said that they're contemplating holding the police department in contempt of court for only releasing a portion of the video. And as someone who, you know, I've been talking about police injustices and police shootings for quite a while. It was actually part of the refocusing of this podcast. It was one of the things that got me really passionate to kind of just focus this podcast a little bit. But in this case, I like the fact that the judge is actually ordering them to release the full video and to make it public, because this is something that we need to see. There needs to be faces and everything put to situations like this. For so long, when young black men were shot or killed, or people in general were shot and killed by the police, or any type of police injustice or anything like that, we were lucky to get body cam footage. We were lucky to get police dash cam footage. And in something this serious, yeah, it's disturbing to watch. Just the 2-minute video that they showed, seeing someone lose their life is always going to be disturbing to watch. But it's something that I feel we need to see. It's something that needs to be put out in public. There needs to be more faces put to this. And if that is, hopefully it goes a long way in getting things like this fixed, solved, and we don't have to worry. Hopefully at some point I won't have to worry about my sons being out there in the world. And, what do you guys feel? I understand, some people are more sensitive about this because they say, what about the family? And yes, that does need to be taken into consideration too. But hopefully they understand the meaning behind this. And I don't want to put words in anyone's mouth. I can only talk to me if it was me in that situation. And even then, just admitting it, it's easy to say, well, this is what I would do in this situation. This is what I would want in this situation. But for something, if I had to be put in the situation to lose someone that I love, if any good can come out of that in showing this and in trying to expose these things, trying to get the American population or just the world to realize that this is what's happening, and it's not fake, it's not anyone just wanting to make a situation that's a smaller thing bigger. This is real. These are things that people are going through. These are things that, like, people have to be fearful of. And even so, after the video, after the situation happened, the reporters were on the scene, and I believe it was NBC who was on the scene. And they talked about how, you send more police out to kind of defuse the situation. At that point, no one's trusting the police. The people that are there that saw this young man getting shot by the police, that trust has to be rebuilt. And the funny thing is that the chief of this police department has talked so much about the importance of transparency, the importance of being open with the public, and then not to release this video, the full video. It does raise some eyes to it. I want to say, and they mentioned the police department tried to use the defense of, well, they wanted to see the events leading up to the shooting. That's what was requested of them. So that's what they provided. But come on, you have to know, you have to think, well, if we're really trying to be as open and transparent as we're pushing and as we're telling people we're trying to be, why not release the full video? Maybe that's just a me thing. Let me know how you guys feel about it. Do you think that In the situations of police shootings, in the situations of police brutality, if video evidence is available, should the full video be released? Should we get to see that full thing? I'm a big proponent of it. I'd say it should be done. Maybe that's just me, but let me know how you guys feel. As you know, the Awakened Soul is a living conversation, so I really want to know how you guys feel and think about that. But taking out, we're going to go ahead. We're going to try to not really lift it up. I don't want to take away from the seriousness of that situation, but there was a lot of things going on in the culture this week. And I would kind of be remiss if I didn't mention Homecoming, if I didn't mention Beyonce, and just the response to it, getting to see her perform, getting to see the lead up from it. And it's kind of spurring the conversation. Is Beyonce the best live performer ever? Listen, I am a Michael Jackson fan as far as his live performances and everything. I don't know if I can ever go against that one, but I definitely think if you want to say of the generation, you can't deny it. And the preparation and work that she goes into, and this is going to kind of get into what we talk about more in the motivational segment of The Awakened Soul this week. So for the watchers on YouTube, make sure you go and download the podcast for amazing conversation on motivation. But to see that she said she didn't eat leading up to her performance, that's dedication. And that isn't the first time. That's been talked about before, how she's forgotten to eat before in making an album. And when you're really passionate about something, it happens. And I don't think anyone could deny the love and the passion and everything she puts into her performances, into her work. That's why her fan base and her audience is as rabid. I know I make fun of the Beehive all the time, but that is why they are the way that they are, is because Beyonce is probably the best performer pound for pound, money for money right now. And that homecoming documentary has really, you know, for anyone who wasn't quite as me, I'm not the biggest Beyonce fan, but after, you know, watching snippets of that, you can't deny it. But I disagree with saying she's the best live performer of all time. That's just a me thing. But more news to come out of this is that apparently Beyonce has actually signed a 3-project deal with Netflix. So we're going to be seeing more and more from her. I forgot the number, so I'm not even going to quote the number. I know it was definitely in the millions, but that goes without saying. But so she Beyonce and Jay-Z really at this point can do whatever they want to. I mean, people are going to write checks to work with them at all. But, you know, I think every time we mention Beyonce, and I know I just did it to mention Jay-Z, I don't want to do that. Let's stay focused on Beyonce and what she's done in her own right. She has built herself as one of the greats to go down. While I'm not the biggest Beyonce fan, while I don't think she has the best singing voice ever, her impact on the culture, her impact on people, her impact on the industry cannot be denied. When you look at where she started with Destiny's Child to where she is now, I don't think anybody would have guessed or really projected this. And more power to her, more power to her team, the people around her, everyone that's helped empower her, everyone that's helped create these projects and everything that goes into it creatively. As me being a creative myself, I definitely respect that aspect of it to the utmost. But that's it. That's the two subjects that are in the mind of Hayes this week. I think those are ones that kind of reflect both of my sides and kind of what I like in entertainment and always serious topic. We are actually going to now get into the petty news from the one and only Scoop Grady. I will catch you guys right after that.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Scoop Grady with the petty news report. What's been up with y'all? So much to talk about. So much nonsense going on, man. Like, the Coachella performance, man. Salute to everybody that was there, that was performing, that killed the stage. Jaden and Will Smith. First of all, whenever you have your daddy come on stage with you and perform, dog, that is like a goal. That is a daddy goal. Will Smith is the GOAT. That's right. I said it. Ain't no way for Jaden to have his daddy, not only in his life, but business and on stage, killing it. You know what I'm saying? I have no idea what he was saying. You know, he started speaking different languages while he was singing Icon remix, but damn it, it sounded like some Tupac shit. Yes. Hey, and then on top of that, like, it's been people talking about this person made more money than this person. This person made money than the both of them. Like, why is everybody so intrigued with how much money people are making? Like, why do it matter if this person made more money than Beyonce or The Weeknd made more money than Beyonce and this other person? You know what I'm saying? Like, it shouldn't matter. Why are y'all stuck in that person's pockets? Y'all, that's the problem right now. Like, people so busy trying to figure out who make this, who make that, when your pocket's low as hell. Like, fix it, ta. Next, I don't know if y'all seen it, but Monique has been out here looking real good. Auntie Monique, you are slaying. You are killing it out here. But unfortunately, I saw Precious yesterday and I got mad all over again, so I don't like you right now. But hey, the picture looked nice. But next, today marks 3 years since Prince has passed away. I want to just, you know, just salute to everything he did. Like, he was definitely an icon. Like, Prince was that guy. There will never be nobody else that can walk in platforms, that can be carried on a white man's back to the stage from the backstage. You know, like, people that do these tributes to Prince, they don't do it right. Salute to Prince, man. We lost a great one, you know. And next, the TV show World of Dance is airing on NBC. Oh my God. You know what? I'm not even gonna hate, because I do appreciate how they do give all these people from across the world, you know, opportunities to make a name for themselves. But some of these people that be coming on stage, whether it's dancing or singing, they need some real friends to let them know that they really suck, okay? It's okay to tell somebody that they suck. Like, you gotta be real with them. Like, I hope on this show, people, you know, it's gonna happen. It's gonna be some people that's gonna try to moonwalk in some damn Timberland boots. It's gonna be somebody that's gonna try to break dance and break their ankles. We're gonna see it. So, man, I wish y'all the best. Let's hopefully y'all don't make too much of a damn fool of y'allselves. But yes, and last but not least, the petty question of the week. And the question is, besides going out to a restaurant on a date, what are other places you can go? Going out on dates don't have to be a restaurant. So please tell me, tell the world other places you can go on a date. That is the petty question of the week. What are other places you can go besides a restaurant on a date? And that is all we have for the petty news. I am Scoop Grady. Continue to follow Wake and Soul. We are moving up in the ranks. We are gaining new followers, man. And salute to the fans. Salute to everybody that just supports us, for real. Y'all be cool, man.
And that was the petty news from Scoop Grady himself. Matter of fact, you can either go to his YouTube page or you can go to the Breaks Media YouTube page and you can check out this hilarious video him and AB did testing out hot sauce. The shit was hilarious. Like, though, I've always said, and I've been telling you guys for a while, Scoop Grady, the Inside Scoop podcast, AB, those dudes are hilarious. Once they blow, it's going to be no holding them back. And that's real talk. I love you. Peace. That's my familiar there forever. Shout out to those fellas there. But now it's time to get into the main topic, and I told you guys it's going to be a little bit different. This week is actually going to be more motivational, kind of introspective as well. So we're going to get into a musical break, and I'll catch you guys right after this. Let's go.
Yes. The time has come for the war over.
It's that time. I'm going to take the subtle approach first, because I'm just getting started. Let's go.
Look. I'm the best and there's nothing that you can do about it. Nope. Never needed a publicity stunt, let's tell the truth about it. Even in the core of the streets, you can't sway the youth about it. But keep running your mouth and I swear I'ma knock a tooth about it. I never claim to be nothing but who the fuck I am. Never sold cocaine in my life, but I'm still the fucking man.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is the discussion topic for this week. I promise not to keep you guys too long. I with this topic, I think it's one of those ones to where doesn't need to be very much said. It doesn't need to go too off the deep end to be effective. But yeah, so in this discussion topic, this is going to be different. No guests. It's just me. We kind of briefly touched on it last week, so maybe kind of a to look at it as a sequel to the conversation that I had last week with April. But in this discussion topic this week, we're going to be talking about self-doubt, and more importantly, kind of the causes, kind of what comes to mind when I think of self-doubt, some of the cases from it. I'm going to share, you know, some of my personal stories as well. So the reason why I wanted to talk about self-doubt isn't necessarily just because we kind of touched on it last week. It's because it's something that I'm seeing in being in the creative world and being in something a position to where I do talk to other podcasters or the creatives to help them cultivate ideas and everything. One thing that I'm seeing happens a lot, or that keeps people kind of paralyzed a lot, is self-doubt. And I can't say enough how many dope people suffer from that. I mean, like I said, I'm going to try to make this as reflective as possible to me, even in myself, self-doubt. In starting this podcast, and kind of in being in the middle of it too, I don't really cover, I touch on it in the Minor Haze segments, but it's still things that relate to me. But I don't really cover some of the most pop culture items. I don't really cover the news. You won't get much celebrity gossip here on this podcast. You don't get that type of stuff from me. And so in doing that, I've always thought, well, how many people are really going to fuck with it? How many people are really going to sit here and listen to something that at times it may come off preachy? Depending on what we're getting into and how deep the conversation goes. But it's something that I suffer from. And even in like doing the different podcasts that I do, everyone who listens to this and Love, Lust, and Badass Soul, even the Breaks Radio knows that you get kind of a different side of Haze. Not that it's my intent, not that it's, that I'm trying to like restrict myself in any way, because that's not, but the topics that I talk about here just automatically elicit that more serious feeling from Haze. Yeah, I'm goofy. You guys know that if you listen to Love, Lust, and Badass, so I can be an asshole. Well, I'm an asshole here most of the times too, but in doing this, there's a lot of times where I record something. One of the perfect examples of that would be the toxic masculinity special episode that we did. If I can only explain to you guys how shook I was to drop that episode, not because of really any backlash or anything, but because of what was happening and what the discussion that went down in that episode was so different from what the public opinion was on toxic masculinity at that time. When you heard that phrase, we really attacked that from a completely different angle and kind of debunked a lot of the ways that word, that phrase was used. And in that, I was afraid as hell to drop it. I remember my boy, and I know I shout him out a lot, Billy Ray Valentine from the Infinite Fringe. When he heard it, he was like, "Hayes, you know, 8-track was kind of wilding on here. Like this may be a bad one." And that was my feeling too. But the thing that I had to realize is that in that I had to go ahead. I feel like this. If you do something as a creative, if you do something that makes you nervous, that's fine. That probably means you're doing the right thing. Self-doubt becomes a problem is when you let that shake you from what you intended to do, or you get so worried about how it may be perceived, you forget about the message. And the thing is that for the ones that suffer from that are affected by how others may take it, and that's what starts their self-doubt, you gotta have to step away from that. Yes, I guarantee you, there's always going to be someone who takes issue with something you said. And this is why I say so much in podcasts, you can't really worry or try to be PC with everything. I personally can't listen to a podcast that's PC about every fucking thing, because if you don't have something that is the least bit controversial, opinions, we all do. If you don't display that on your form, then I take it as not genuine. So I'm not going to listen to you. And so in that, I felt that too in that episode, and I'm like, okay, no, I'm just going to go ahead and drop it. However it goes. When I say when we dropped that episode, it was almost universal praise. I think really the only person that took issue with it, and even the ones who did take issue with it, was more so with the way A-Track said what he said, not necessarily what he said. And I actually love that, because that's when a situation like that, that's when you can really get down and deep into something and have a great conversation. But I digress. I know I'm getting sidetracked a lot. That's why. And that's another thing. Like, I'll get on that. So in dropping that episode, I think really the only person who had a real big issue with it was AJ from What We Gonna Do. Not a problem. That's my brother. Like, I think when AJ has an issue, me and AJ, what I've learned about me and AJ's relationship is while we are very similar in a lot of ways, we have different ways of looking at things. And I think AJ is one of those people who, when it's something that is super controversial, his immediate thing is, "Yo, bro, what's up?" And it's not coming from a place like, "Hey, you shouldn't do that," or "Hey, you tripping." It's coming from a place like, "Bro, man, yo, you may get some backlash for that." And I've come to learn that with AJ. And me and AJ, the conversations that we have in the DMs are honestly some of the, it's really insightful shit. AJ is a deep dude. And anyway, I'm digressing again. This episode would be titled "The Digression." But nonetheless, so in doing that, you know, I suffer from self-doubt. I suffer from self-doubt like that a lot of times in podcasting. I know I'm a cocky person. Everybody says it. I'm confident. I'm very confident. But that doesn't mean that I don't have moments of doubting myself or doubting how things may be perceived. I think that I'm very content in my opinion. I've always said this. I'm someone who, I know who Cordero is. Not even Hayes. I know who Cordero is. I know my flaws. I know my best side. I know my worst side. I know that I could be controversial. I know that I'm an asshole sometimes. I know all of that about myself. I don't say that to be boastful, but I say that to admit and just know where I am as a person and know where my, because I realize that I can be an asshole sometimes. I don't take that as just I'm an asshole, you guys just have to deal with it. I take that as, okay, I know I can be a dick. Let me more so think about let me try to present this in a way to this specific person to where I know my natural asshole nature may not come out in this one. That way I can make sure I'm getting through to people. And that's part of being a leader. But nonetheless, and I think that self-doubt is, and I think I tweeted this out the other day, self-doubt is really just the devil trying to play on your mind and keep you from realizing how dope you are. And I think that you can't let your own self-doubt freeze you. So many creatives will let their concern or the doubt on their ability to do something freeze them and then never take action. it's okay to fail. It's okay to have a bad episode. It's okay to have just kind of stumble sometimes. I think that's where the growth is. And I've said that before on this podcast as well. The growing and the teaching opportunities sometimes come in the failure. And I think that's what makes life so great, is that, yeah, okay, you failed. Okay, you messed up. Okay, so what? You actually have the opportunity to fix it. And I in talking about self-doubt, and this is kind of something I was about to segue into before, is like me with guests. If you notice, I'd have a lot of guests. Week to week, I probably have a guest on. But if you pay attention to the beginning of The Awakened Soul, if you go back to the first episode, you will see that I had a guest on every segment, on every episode. If I switch segments, I switch guests. And that was part of my own doubt to conduct and do this podcast by myself. As you see now with this, I'm absolutely fine sitting down in front of a mic, getting my opinions across and doing this by myself. And my self-doubt crippled me from doing that at the beginning of this podcast. And yes, I was a new podcaster and all that. But I had to come and I had to realize that, you know what? Fuck that. I'm finna do this. I don't need a guest. I want, like, the people that come on this podcast, I have on here because I legitimately want to talk to them, not because I feel like I need a guest to do this podcast. And that's what makes the conversation so free flowing. And that's what makes the conversations you get here on The Awakened Soul better than what you get on almost any other podcast, is because I don't pick a topic and then say, I'm gonna go get a guest for this topic. I ask someone to join my show, and then I figure out, based off what our mutual interests are, what we disagree on, and what I feel we have a good conversation, I build the show around that. And each topic I have isn't, you don't just get someone to fill in because Hayes needs a guest. You get someone to fill in because that's a specific conversation I wanted to have with that person. And that's what it's all about in podcasting. That's what it's all about creating a brand. And I know you guys see my tweets a lot about I'm the best this and I'm the best that. And yeah, I talk my shit, but that's because I had to work my ass off to get to this point. And I think that a lot of times with self-doubt, it's really you doubting your own ability or your own desire to put in the work. Just think about that. How many times have you kind of doubted yourself? And it hasn't been because of what other people would feel. It hasn't been because you don't feel like you know what the fuck you're doing or talking about. It's because you doubt if you're going to have and be able to take out the time that's needed to bring that dream to reality. And I think that's when sometimes it's good to step back. Again, to use AJ from What We Gonna Do, he stepped away from podcasting. I don't remember for how long. I know it was for a while. And he's come back and he's delivered great episodes. Great episodes. And me and his episode, I think he was on this podcast maybe a week after he came back. Me and him had a conversation before he started. And just the ideas and the flowing and the creativity that's coming out of what he wants to do now, and the freedom that came from stepping back. And I'm not saying he suffered from self-doubt. I don't know that, so I can't say that. I think his thing was just a time constraint. But I'm just using that as an example. Even if you do doubt yourself, sometimes just step back, reassess, and then attack it. There's no issue with that. And what most people and what a lot of people will find is that, to talk about the flip side. So we talked about how self-doubt affects you and can affect you, and how it has affected me and other situations with it. I think another thing that we need to talk about is how the lack of self-doubt will affect those around you. Just think about that. I know that that may be something, and I'm not saying cockiness. I'm saying that when you're sure of yourself, when you're sure of your mission, when you're sure of your purpose and what you're doing and the way you're doing it and everything else, it's funny how you will see the people around you who aren't real will shift. The things that used to be encouraging, the things that used to be checking in on you, now kind of turn into, you know, and we all know. And the thing is, it being in this, and I'm not going to throw anyone under the bus specifically, because that'll just open up just more. But in our pod and family, and I'm just going to be real with you guys 100% here. Within our little pod and family group, there are people who will talk about talk with you about your podcast, that will talk and be supportive when you're at a certain point. But the moment you start passing them up, the moment you start getting more notice or more attention or more accolades than them, you'll start seeing that shift. And the moment that you start being sure and you start being focused, because they doubt themselves and they're wondering why you don't have that same self-doubt, you'll start seeing their mask come off. And I am reading a book called The Laws of Human Nature. And in that, one of the first things that really spoke to me in that book, it says that everyone wears a mask. But if you pay close enough attention, you'll start seeing the cracks in that mask and the cracks in how they want to be seen versus what and who they really are. And that's true as hell. I can say that right now. And again, to put the spotlight back on our pod and family, if you only knew how many in that group will do and tweet one thing, but then be in the messages or the texts of someone else saying, hey, yo, you see them over there? And even with one thing with me, something that's been brought to my attention, you know, there are some in our group and that I felt that were close to me that question my numbers or what this podcast has been doing. And to that, I say, question it. That's all that you can do, all the questioning and that and everything that you want to do on that. But I know how hard I work. I know how hard I promote. I know how hard everything that goes on behind the scenes, not just for this podcast, for the Breaks Media and everything else around it. I know how hard I put into that. And I know there are some podcasters out there that fake their numbers or pay for plays and all that bullshit. And I think that is a perfect example of how you can let your self-doubt get to you. You doubt your podcast that much as you have to go and pay for that because you have that doubt about yourself. Don't come here with that. And I think that if you stop, once you stop doubting yourself, once you stop letting that creep into how you maneuver, it becomes peace. There's a peace that you reach with that. And that's where I am now. And not just this podcast, but being a creative, being a father, being a person, being a parent. Listen, what you see is what you get with Hayes. You can question it all you want. You can hate on it all you want. You can do all that shit. But at the end of the day, I'm here. I'm where I am. I know what I built to create my own studio. I know what I built to create a media company and what I'm doing with BJ and Avery and all the podcasts that are part of the network. And I think that when you can be in a position like I am and not be genuine, I don't feel. And people can disagree with that all that they want. But if you only know how much I get more pleasure out of seeing the inside scoop, out of seeing the team, out of seeing extra regular, out of seeing technical foul, out of seeing change the subject is a perfect one. I get more enjoyment out of seeing the attention BJ is now getting for his hard work than I will ever get out of the own attention that I get for podcasts that I work on. And that's because that's genuine. My love for BJ and what he does and that brother is genuine. And so in that, you gotta step back and take account and notice of the people that are around you. And that doesn't mean shun them all away. That doesn't mean turn them into enemies. Sometimes you need to keep those people close. Sometimes you just need to let them learn by being you. If they hate, that's on them. If they talk shit about you behind your back, it just means that you're doing shit right. And that's what it is. And I think that I took it most, and I didn't announce it, and I didn't like make a big deal out of it. But if you pay attention, the last month or two, until like the last couple of weeks, I really slowed down my activity on Twitter. I slowed down my interactions with certain people. And that's because I wanted to see who was going to fall off. I wanted to see who was going to I wanted to take account and an inventory of the people that were around me at that time. And if you notice now that I'm back, there are only certain podcasts I retweet. There are only certain podcasts that I comment, even if I'm tagged on. And that's because I cleaned out my circle. I'll still work with almost anyone. If I respect your content, if I respect what you're doing, even if I don't, even if I know that there's some things questionable about you as a person, if I can still respect what you're trying to do with your brand. You can be insecure all you want, but if you're trying to do something positive and Hayes can help contribute to that, then damn right I'm going to. But pay very close attention to who I'm fucking with, really, and who I'm not, because that's telling in the story. I know that, again, the digression podcast, I guess this topic isn't just about self-doubt. Maybe this is just me spewing my shit, and that's absolutely fine, because as crazy and as twisted as my mind can get sometimes, anyone who really knows me knows I'm a deep thinker and I think deeply about everything. And the people who are close and in my circle know that my love and the way I rock with them never wavers. And I forgot to shout out a few screws loose. Like, I can never say enough about Dan and Paul and what their podcast means to me personally as a man, being able to listen to them. I had a shout out Dan. I feel weird when I shout out other podcasts and don't mention Dan as well. But the thing with that I wanted to do with this segment is I wanted to just talk to you guys. I wanted you guys to know where I'm going, where I am. And for anyone, because there have been ones who asked about, like, you know, you've been kind of quiet on Twitter, you've been kind of quiet on this, and that's why. I really wanted to see the circle. And the thing is that, again, I promise you this is not to sound cocky, is that there are certain members of the podcast community that feel like I came out of nowhere. They feel like the Awakened Soul came out of nowhere. And I think that's because, unlike a lot of podcasts that come out and launch, I didn't launch needing the attention and support from those, from a group. I came in doing me. I came in doing me for a year before I really interacted with anyone outside of my immediate circle. If you look at the first year of The Awakened Soul, you get repeats from Andrew Bello, Fame Black, AJ from What We're Gonna Do, my brothers from Oversaturated, and a few other people who trickled in and out of there. But I came in as a force. And the ones who are like, well, that doesn't make any sense, forget that I was podcasting for 3 years before the Awakened Soul launch. So I came in with a fan base that was completely not a fan. Again, I don't have fans, I have listeners. I came in with a listenership already from doing the other things, from working and networking. And I kept that going. I don't need social media for this to be successful. And that's what a lot of people don't realize. And when they say, oh, Hayes came out of nowhere, they forget that Hayes didn't come out of nowhere. Hayes was working his ass off. I just wasn't in or trying to be in your little popularity competition here. That wasn't me. I came in doing me. I came in with my mission, my goal, and the people that supported me. And that's how I'm going to go out. But that's it. That's what I wanted to talk about on this week's episode. Like I said, I know it was going to be a little bit different than most my episodes. But, you know, self-doubt. And, let's open this up for conversation. For those that suffer from self-doubt and who have felt crippled by that in the past, how have you within yourself, how have you breaking out of that? How have you breaking through that mold? Share that. I'll be tweeting that question out on the Awakened Soul and the Breaks Media Twitter pages and social media pages. I want to hear how you guys feel about that, because I feel like that's what will help a lot of people. And to my other creatives who have let self-doubt creep in and affect their content and affect what they wanted to do, stop it. Y'all are dope. And I mean that. Like, that's one thing that has come out of this podcasting thing that I just am so appreciative of, is getting to see other people be creative and do their damn thing and own it. And not for attention, not for anything like that. Stephanie from the I Said No podcast, like, she's amazing. And so, like, seeing people like that, and BJ and AJ and Dan and people I have yet to get to work with, like Sayer from the Officially Street podcast, and Rome from Sophisticated Ignorance. I think that's right. Like, those people that I haven't got to work with yet, but that I have interacted with, you guys are amazing, man. And I'm not saying you guys suffer from self-doubt, but I'm really appreciative and really in a mode of just realizing how blessed I have been this last year to get to work and interact with the people that I have. We're going to keep that going for the length of The Awakened Soul. We're very close to our 100th episode. I can't wait to deliver that to you guys, man. Unruly Creatives 3 is coming very, very shortly too as well. But that's it for this week, man. Like I said, it's going to be a shorter episode, going to be a little bit different of an episode. Hopefully you guys appreciate it. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. You guys can go ahead and follow me personally at CEO Hayes. That's CEOHAIZE. You can follow the podcast at Awaken Soul Pod. You can also follow The Breaks Media at The Breaks Media. I think I plugged everything this week. I love each and every one of you guys. Peace.
This is a world premiere. This is a world premiere.
I done been through a whole lot. Trial, tribulation, but I know God. Satan wanna put me in a bow tie.
Pray that the holy water don't go dry, yeah, yeah. As I look around me, so many motherfuckers wanna down me. But enemy gon' never drown me. In front of a dirty double mirror, they found me. And I love myself.
The world is a ghetto with guns and dickies.
I love myself.
But they can do what they want whenever they want. I don't mind.
I love myself.
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
Lift up your head and keep moving.
Keep moving.
Don't let the paranoia haunt you. Peace to fashion police, I wear my heart on my sleeve, let the runway start. You know the miserable, do love company. What do you want from me and my scars? Everybody lack confidence. Everybody lack confidence. How many times my potential was anonymous? How many times the city making me promises? So I promise this.
I love myself.
The world is a ghetto because of Dickie's
eyes. I love myself.
But they can do what they want whenever they want.